A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizwal of Cherry Hill. Erevin Ayin Gimel, Erevin 73A, pagination page 145. I'd like to start with a story question and then see if we can extrapolate from the Mishnah what the halacha would be. Let's say you have a Shabbaton. Everybody is unified in the kitchen, in the commissary. They're all getting food from the collective kitchen. Except one of the people, husband, wife, is a guest speaker. And he has decided that he does not want to eat in the same dining room as everybody else. He finds that when he does, he doesn't get to talk to his wife at all. That means he's going to go 3 days not talking to his wife because everybody keeps coming over with questions. And he has decided that he's going to be eating privately in his hotel room. And so the food is brought for this couple to their hotel room where they eat all their meals privately. Do we have an issue of Erev Chatzeros that this couple has a place of residence and they're eating separately from everybody else and therefore would have to do some act of joining with everybody else because what they currently have is very strongly independent? Let's see the Mishnah and see if we can apply how this would play itself out. So I'm starting on the facing page, Ayin Beis Amid Beis, 72b, pagination 144. Towards the bottom of the page, the last quarter of the page, there's Masnisin, the beginning of a Mishnah, which is at the end of a line. Ha'achan shayu ochlem al shulchan aviyem. The Mishnah's case is you have brothers who are all eating from their father. The father is big bucks father. He's supporting the whole place. V'yishenim bevateim, and they're sleeping in their own private quarters, either because this is the way they normally do it, or because they came in for a special Shabbos together with this father, and the father is giving them enough food that they go back to their own homes and they're eating privately as their own private families. Tzurichim Eruv l'chol echad ve'echad, you will need to do an Eruv for each one of these families. That's how the Mishnah presents it. Lefikach, therefore, im shakach echad mehem, if one of them forgot, v'lo irev, and did not include himself in the Eruv, he didn't contribute, Mevatel es Rishuso, he would have to do this technique of Mevatel the Rishus to nullify his possession, his location to everybody else, so that he's a guest by them, and like this, they will all be able to carry. What was the comment?
Relinquish.
Relinquish, nice word. Yes. Now, you think you're done, but there's still half a Mishnah left. Amosai, when does this apply that it's a problem and you need to do due consideration here, either to participate in an Erev or to be Mevatel Rishos? Bizman shemalichin Eruvim b'makom acher, when they're sending their Erev to another place. In other words, there are other residents over here. It's not just them and their father. There are other residents, and they're sending an Erev to the other people, a different courtyard. That's when this person who didn't participate is going to be a problem. Aval mahaya Erev ba'etzlan. But if either the townspeople are sending the Erev to their location, o she'eni ma'im diyurim b'chatzar, or if there's no one else in this neighborhood, it's just them with the father supporting them, einam tzrichim la'arev, there's really no problem, there's no need for an extra Erev, they're already included. What's apparently happening over here is that on the one hand, there's an automatic Eruv because they're all getting either the food or the money for the food from the same commissary. On the other hand, they're very independent. And what the Gemara does with this is ask, is Makom Lina Goreim, is the place where they sleep the critical factor, or the place where they eat, Makom Pita, the critical factor? What makes your residence? And you'll see at the end of the Gemara on this page, the last five words, my Makom Dira, what's considered your place of residence? Rav Omar onto the today's daf, Makom Pita, the place where you have your food. Or Shmuel Omar Makom Lina, and Shmuel says it's the place where you sleep. We paskin, it's the place of your food. We paskin, it's the place of your food. And therefore, the critical factor over here is that even though you are joined in the collective kitchen, but because you're walking off with your food to an independent location, to a certain extent, that negates the collective nature of the group. But what the Mishnah is telling us is that it'll only negate the collective nature to the extent that there are other people in the chatzar, but if there's no one else, then you're okay, because there was enough of a joining through the father who's supporting everybody. How does that play out going back to our illustration? Again, you have a Shabbaton, everybody's getting from the same collective kitchen, except for this one couple who has determined that they simply need their independence, and therefore they are in their own hotel room receiving the food from the commissary being served in their private room. Makom Pita Goreim, the place of your food, is the critical factor. So we were not fazed by the fact that everybody's sleeping in different rooms. That didn't bother us. That doesn't declare independence. What declared independence was that they're getting their own food. Their personal food is being eaten in their own location. That's what fazed us. But what did the Mishnah tell us? Bameh devarim amurim, or in the words of the Mishnah, Emasai. When is this said? This concern only exists if, number one, there are other people here, besides the people being supported from the collective commissary. In the case of the Mishnah, it was the father who was supporting everybody. In our case, it's the Shabbaton collective nature that's supporting everybody. There are other people. So we would need to find out. If there are other people in this hotel, then this couple's independence becomes a factor. We need to pay attention to it, because there are other people. And the second question the Mishnah wanted us to ask was, where is the Eruv that's including those other people being held? You know, if the hotel has its own mashkiach or chaplain or somebody, and he would go around and collect the Eruv Chatzeros from everybody, so this couple would have to make their own contribution. The contribution that came from the kitchen was not enough to cover them, because they're declaring their independence by taking that food to their own location, just like the children in the Mishnah were taking the food to their own location. If, however, the Eruv is going to be placed in the place where the Shabbaton is holding its residence, so then there's no problem, because the Mishnah said that even though these individual children are holding their independence, but if the Eruv of the community is being held by the father, then that's enough to join everybody, and we don't worry about the children's independence. And likewise, this guest speaker and his wife are holding independent, but it doesn't faze us. The Mishnah clearly states that that's not a problem if the Eruv is being held by the collective location. You can well imagine that this is why when we do an Eruv Chatzeros, we really do not, in our time, expect an individual contribution from each resident. What happens if you forget somebody? What happens if you don't realize this kind of halacha? It makes all the difference whether you leave the Erev Chatzeres there or there. It makes all the difference, even though they're eating in their own rooms, whether there are other people who need to be considered. And therefore, generally what we will do is simply take the box of matzah, have someone acquire it on behalf of all the residents, whoever they may be, and we don't have to keep track. And like this, everyone's included in the Eruv. I mean, it's so much simpler rather than making sure that you didn't overlook something. Now, one observation I'll give you for homework is a classic question. When a person's a guest in someone's home, is it better to light candles in the bedroom or the house in which they're holding residence in terms of sleeping? Or is it better to light their Shabbos candles in the place where they're eating? And if everyone's eating by the host and sleeping by their individual, the people who agreed to host, but they're not the essential host, they're just lodging, they're just providing the sleeping quarters, which is the better place to light your candles? My homework question to you is, we paskin by Erev Chatzeros, Makom Pita Gorim, the place of their eating, is the critical factor. And when they're taking the food back to their lodging, that's when we're concerned about their residence. Otherwise, the fact that they're sleeping in a different location does not faze us. That's not the place where a person is holding their residence. It's only when the food is taken there that it's considered their place of residence. Does that attitude, psak, ruling, by Erev Chatzeros have any bearing on the way we'll deal with it when it comes to lighting Shabbos candles? Or is the lighting Shabbos candles a whole different question? For example, just lighting more and more and more candles, you know, you're up to 50 candles in the food location. You're up to 100 candles in the food location. It's getting silly. I mean, how much more light, more light, more light? How much are you truly adding? And perhaps your own place of sleeping, where it's dark and people are going to bump into each other, that's the real place of Shalom Bayis. Again, simple question. Would the halacha by Erev Chatzeros be extrapolated and have any application to the question, which is worded very similarly, but maybe very different logic regarding Shabbos candles? Yashar Koach, have a great day.